Hello and welcome. My name is Davis Wilson, and this is the Killer Minute Podcast, Episode 2, brought to you by Killer Frogs. TCU basketball, 0-2 on the week with losses to Baylor and Iowa State. They've got a lot to figure out in the coming games before the season ends. They now sit at 17-9 overall, 6-7 in the Big 12. Obviously, they have work to do. And TCU baseball gets its season going this weekend in a three-game weekend slate, super stacked schedule. That team has a lot of expectations, a lot of hopes after a strong season last year. We will get into all of that on this podcast next. Okay, let's start with the Baylor game. TCU lost to Baylor 72-68 on Saturday. Despite the loss, I thought this was an okay performance overall. TCU was without Mike Miles, their best player, and only lost to a really good Baylor team by 4 points. Although a lot of the disappointment comes in because TCU had a beautiful chance to win the game late. They were actually up by 10 points with less than 10 minutes in the game, and they could not close it out. They could not maintain that lead and obviously ended up losing. Damian Baugh was pretty good for TCU overall. He had a chance to tie the game up with a couple seconds left, took a bad shot, but overall thought he was good. He had 16 points on 7 of 14 shooting, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. Jacoby Coles, another guy who had a good game, really loved the way he's playing. He had 15 points on 6 of 8 shooting, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. On the Baylor side, two of their three guards that make up one of the best backcourts in the country, Adam Flagler and LJ Cryer, both had massive games. Flagler had 28 points on 9 of 16 shooting. He went 5 of 10 from 3. LJ Cryer, who we didn't even know if he was going to play in this game, he had 23 points on 8 of 11 shooting, 4 of 6 from 3. So those two torched TCU. They combined for well over half the points Baylor scored. Back to TCU. TCU had 16 assists and only 13 turnovers, which is a much better assist-to-turnover ratio than we saw in the previous game against Kansas State. They led in rebounding. They out-rebounded Baylor 32-26. They had 14 fast break points, which is below their season average, but still not bad. And they had 50 points in the paint. And just based on all those statistics, you would think that TCU won this game, but they didn't. Frogs only shot 10 threes, made two of them. And this is what I'm about to mention is going to be the theme of this episode: free throws, free throw shooting. TCU was 10 of 16 from the free throw line, 62.5%, which is not good, obviously. And if you do the math, they missed six free throws, lost game by four. If you make all your free throws, you win the game. Again, this loss is disappointing, mostly because they had an opportunity to beat a really good team at home without their best player. And they couldn't close that out. Without Mike Miles, obviously, this team is so much different and it's harder to score. But I thought TCU did a good job. Obviously, we talked about Damian and Jacoby both stepping up. It didn't come down to Mike being gone. It came down to free throws, and that I think was the frustrating part of this game. It came down to free throws and the inability to close. That's what was frustrating for fans. Overall, not a bad loss in my opinion. Although right now TCU needs to be winning games, but I think this is one that you can look at some things and you can be positive. The next game they played on Saturday, I'm sorry, not Saturday, on Wednesday, They played Iowa State on Wednesday, lost by 11. They lost 70-59. This was a terrible game from the start. They went down 10-0 early, and then again they went down 15-2. They did end up making a little bit of a run to make it a pretty close game, but Iowa State dominated pretty much throughout the game. Really frustrating game to watch for fans. Shahade Wells, he had kind of been on a bit of a slump, I suppose, in the last couple games. He played well. He had 15 points on 7 of 14 shooting, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. We're coming back to free throws already. He was 0-4 from free throws, but that is not even the worst part of what I'm about to say here. I had to double check the stat when I first saw it. TCU was 6 of 18 from the free throw line. A Division I Power 5 Big 12 school was 6 of 18 from the free throw line. That is 33%. I mean, I'm sure worse have happened. I've rarely seen worse than that, especially from a team who has some championship aspirations. That's terrible. Iowa State was 15 of 17 from the free throw line, 88%. Again, we'll do this. TCU missed 12 free throws, lost the game by what? 11. TCU makes his free throws, they win the game again. And I know that's easy to say. You know, no team is perfect from the free throw line, but it's at least a competitive game if TCU makes a majority of the free throws that it missed. Again, Miles gone, but I really don't think he's to blame. I don't think his absence is to blame. I think what's to blame right now is a team that opens games really poorly, closes games really poorly, and doesn't shoot free throws well. And opening games and closing games, Mike Miles can help with that. I think he can come in to start the games. He can come in and be a guy who can go get a bucket immediately, get things off on the right foot. To close a game, again, he's a guy you can give the ball to and say, go get a basket. We need a basket. Go get a basket. TCU doesn't have that right now. But free throws, man, that has nothing to do with Mike. I mean, this is a team that's good enough to win games without Mike Miles. Not every game, not most of their games, but some of their games they should be winning without Mike Miles, and they haven't done that. And a big reason why is free throws, and Mike's absence has, again, nothing to do with that. So looking ahead, TCU only has a couple games left. Actually, only 5 games left in the season before the Big 12 championship. They've now lost 4 in a row. They've lost 5 of 6. They have 2 games in the next 4 days against Oklahoma State and Kansas, both of which are at home. But the reality is this team has to start winning. The Frogs have to start winning. I don't know when Mike Miles will return. I thought there was a chance he would play against Baylor, and a lot of people thought there was a chance he'd play against Iowa State before he tweeted out, you know, he tweeted something like, I'm, you know, everybody reporting that I'm playing. It's not true. Don't believe it. I'm waiting to be 100%, something like that. I don't know when that's going to be. Obviously, they would prefer it sooner than later. But again, you can't rush him back because whenever he does come back, you need him to be healthy. Again, right now, they sit with a 6-7 conference record with 5 games left. I looked back since Jamie Dixon's been here, TCU's been to the March Madness tournament 2 times in 2017 and 18 and 2021 and 22. Those 2 seasons, the first season, 17 and 18, TCU was 21-12, and they went 9-9 in the Big 12, 500. In 21-22, in that season, they were 21-13, and they went 8-10 in the Big 12. That, to me, is the minimum. I think you've got to get to 8 conference wins. But I did look last year. Iowa State made the tournament with only 7 conference wins. They went 7-11. But for TCU, I would aim for 8. You're at 6 right now. You just need 2 more. I think that guarantees you a spot in the tournament, especially because of how tough the Big 12 has been and considering their best player has been out for, I mean, an extended period of time. So they've got, we'll look at what they have. They have, as I said, they have Oklahoma State next at home. Oklahoma State is 7-6 in the Big 12. They're coming off a loss against Kansas, but before that, they beat Iowa State and Texas Tech. Then they play Kansas on Monday. Kansas 9-4 in the Big 12. That'll be a tough game, although TCU played pretty well last time those two teams met. After that, you have Texas Tech in Lubbock. This is a game I think you mark down as a must-win unless you get one of these games you're not supposed to get, one of these games against Kansas or maybe Texas. But I think you have to beat Texas Tech. Texas Tech is 3-10 in the Big 12. That's got to be one of your wins. Next, as I said, Texas sitting at 9-4, back in Fort Worth for that game. That's another game TCU can win depending on health. And then you're at Oklahoma in Norman playing a 3-10 Sooner team, another game I think you have to win. So the way I see this, depending on the health of this team, TCU could win 3 or 4 of these games. They could win 5 of these games. I don't see that happening. I think they can win at least 3 of these games. I think, as we said, I think you have to win at least 2 of these games, because that puts you, yeah. Well, I would actually say, Texas Tech and Oklahoma, although they're both road games, those are both tough teams. I think you have to beat both those teams. Oklahoma State, very winnable game. Both Kansas and Texas are at home. I think both those you can win, but again, that's going to very much depend on the health of this team. So despite the struggles, despite everything that's gone wrong, TCU is still in a good position. They got off to a really good start in conference play, have some really good wins. Kansas on the road in Lawrence is the highlight win of their season. There's still a lot of hope for this team, is what I'm trying to say. There's 5 games left, all of which there's at least a scenario where you win. And I'm going to say you need two wins to kind of cement your spot in the tournament. Although I think if they went 7-11 in conference, I think they could get in. But to be safe, you aim for 8-10 at least. Preferably a lot better than that, but we'll see. We'll see what happens, obviously, with Mike and Eddie, both of those guys. Although Eddie did play last night, but he has not been the same since his injury. We'll see what happens with Mike Miles. Depending on when he gets back, this team could crank it up again, and you could see the same team you saw when they beat Kansas on the road. But regardless of health, regardless of what Mike Miles is doing, you have to win basketball games. You have to make your free throws. That's been the big problem for this team. Next, we're going to talk about something a little more encouraging. We're going to talk about TCU baseball. Okay, it's baseball season, which should be a lot of fun. TCU is the 15th best team in the country, and they get going immediately. They have a really fun opening weekend, which starts on Friday, goes through Sunday. On Friday, they play number 10 Vanderbilt. Saturday, they play number 8 Arkansas. And Sunday, they play my school, the Missouri Tigers. These games are all part of the College Baseball Showdown at Globe Life Park in Arlington, so all on a neutral field. I think there's a lot of expectations for this group. Kirk Sarlos coming into his second year after winning the Big 12 in his first year as the manager of the Frogs. They went 38-22 last year, 16-8 in the conference. I think expectations could be even higher. Coaches in the Big 12 voted them as the best team in the league. They are returning a lot of talent. They're returning 8 starters from that team that made it to the regionals last year. And they're also bringing in the 6th best recruiting class in the country and a top 10 transfer class. A guy I want to mention, a guy I have to mention, is third baseman Braden Taylor. He was named preseason Big 12 Player of the Year. He was named a preseason All-American. Dude's a stud. Dude will be the guy for this Frog team. But along with him, 5 TCU players earned Big 12 preseason honors. Taylor, one of them, as I mentioned. Elijah Nunez in the outfield, Austin Davis in the outfield, and then 2 pitchers, Luke Savage and Garrett Wright. All those guys, a lot of expectations, obviously. One of those guys is a part of that top 10 transfer class I mentioned. Austin Davis, transferring from West Virginia, will be a huge part of this team. And then in addition to him, you have Ryan Vanderhey from Kansas, a starting pitcher from Kansas, who was really good at Kansas, but now people are saying he's gotten even better since arriving in Fort Worth. So that's a guy I think TCU fans should be really excited about. And then that freshman class I talked about, 6th in the country, pretty incredible. That class is highlighted by Anthony Silva, infielder. He was named Big 12 Freshman of the Year, preseason Freshman of the Year. So a lot of expectations for him. But I think this team has a chance to be a lot of fun. They are combining returning production with a lot of really, really good newcomers. And I think that this first weekend is going to be a lot of fun, as we're probably going to get to learn a lot about this team and how they stack up with talent from around the country. So certainly one to look for. Certainly I would try to catch those 3 games if I were you. I'll for sure be watching, especially when they play my team, Missouri, because that's a win-win for me. Anyways, that's all from me. That's all from this podcast episode. Thanks for joining me. Hopefully TCU basketball gets it turned around soon, and hopefully TCU baseball gets off to a fast start against these 3 SEC opponents. I appreciate everybody for tuning in and listening. We'll be back next week for another episode, but for now, I'll just say go Frogs.